The last several shirim are devoted, and were devoted, and continue to be devoted to the topic of abortion. And now we're going to examine the Shitas HaRambam, which is found on the single page that you have in front of you. And then we'll get to the sort of contras that has a number of different approaches to the Rambam. I'll read the Rambam inside. It's right in front of you. It's a very famous Rambam and one that is problematic at a number of levels. The Rambam Paragav Rotsech Hashmir Stafesh. I'm reading the Halacha Test. It's underlined. The Rambam is discussing the previous Rambam, the previous Rambams, underscoring the gravity of issues relating to the enormity of life. I want us to be exceptionally cautious with reference to any kind of sakonas nefashos. And yet, there are many, many tchumim in this, under this rubric. And one of them is an halacha test. Avzu mitzvos lo sa'aseh shel halacha sanem sharodif. The concept of Rodeh that the Gemara discusses at great length in Sanhedrin, someone A pursuing B, Reuven pursuing Shimon. La halacha is lechatchila. One should try to dismember the evarim, the limbs of the Rodeh, in order to save the nidah. If one is not able to do that, then one is permitted even to take the life of the Rodeh in order to save the life of the nidah. So now the Rambam then refers to that which we spoke about the last number of Shiurim. And this is the sugya that the Gemara has. It's the Mishnah in the Olos, and the Rambam cites the Mishnah. The Pika Choru Chacham, Shehu Ubra. Ubra always refers to in Talmudic literature the mother who is pregnant, carrying a child. She mekashalele, and now she's having difficulty in the pregnancy. Mutar laftocha Ubra b'meyel. You're allowed to go ahead and literally take the life of the fetus that's in her womb. Ben b'sam, ben b'yad, whether it's done in a direct kind of way or indirectly, is a very famous Rambam, and this Rambam is on the heels of the sugya that the Gemara has in Sanhedrin. The Gemara cites actually in Dafayim Beis, the Mishnah in Olos, and the Mishnah quotes this case that the Rambam is speaking about. The lashon of the Mishnah is that her life takes precedence over the life of the child. However, the Mishnah says, Yotzer Rosho. Once the head of the child has emerged, then the din is a nogin bo, then you can't touch the child. The way Rashi and many Rishonim learned the sugya, that prior to the birth of the child, that is the way the Rambam presents it, and the way the Mishnah presents it, we're talking about the head of the child, not getting to that issue, we already touched upon it earlier. So the child's not called a nefesh. So Rashi simply defines the Mishnah. The mother is a nefesh, a full-fledged nefesh. The child is not. And therefore, it's clear that the nefesh of the child is going to take second fiddle to the nefesh of the mother. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah and all of us. However, once the child emerges, namely 1 second ahead, then the child becomes a nefesh. That's how Rashi understands pshat in the sugya. Many Rishonim learn like Rashi. And therefore, in dochi nefesh, they nefesh. In the course of this discussion, if you recall, so the Gemara actually points out, the Gemara has a very fascinating statement. The Rambam also loses the limit to finish this Rambam, and then you will speak. The Rambam here does not seem to take the approach of Rashi. But rather, what does the Rambam say? That the child is considered to be a rodif. And as a result, the halacha is we have to save the life of the nirdaf because of the rodif that is pursuing her. However, the Rambam then continues, citing the end of the Mishnah, the Rambam cites the Lashon HaMishnah. And then the Rambam also cites what the Gemara says, but the Rambam interprets the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mishmaya kamaratfile. It's the Lashon Gemara. And the Rambam calls this, Vizeo Timo Shalom. Natural processes are taking place. The child wants to emerge from the womb of the mother. So the difficulty that are present in the Rambam, there are many difficulties, but let's mention one or two that are of primary interest, of preeminent interest to us. Number one, why does the Rambam present the rationale for this halacha based on Rodef, instead of saying the simple pshat, which is the Lashon HaMishnah. And doichin nefesh v'nei nefesh, that's how Rashi and many, many Rishonim love pshat in the Mishnah. We don't have to introduce the din of Rodef. It's true, the Gemara also has recourse to that, but the Gemara says, Mishmaya kabarat falei, but the Ram calls Tikkun Shel Olam. Secondly, if the Ubar is considered to be a Rodef, so why is this status of Rodef suddenly end the moment the head of the Ubar emerges? The Ubar is still a Rodef. Why suddenly do we assume at that point, no, then we somehow invoke, have recourse to the idea of Nefesh, and then Nefesh, Nefesh, then Nefesh. There are many other questions. And we discussed this, maybe just, if you don't mind, by presenting a precy of what we spoke about in the last year, last two shurim, last three shurim. Actually, I gave him the topic, so we presented a number of positions, and then Alan, I will didn't forget you. That we presented a number of positions that attempted to resolve some of these issues. The Nadi Behuda and the Lefi Tshuva contends that the Ubar is also considered to be a Nefesh. And just like, for example, you're not allowed to kill a Treifa. The Gemara says that Ahorigas HaTreifa Potter. Treifa is called a Gabak Tila in halachic terminology. Treifa is someone that in Chazal's time would not live out a year. My Mechutin told me many times, Dr. Eshi Jacob, he's a gastroenterologist in Hadassah Hospital. So he told me many times that every single treifa today, the Gemara speaks of Yudches treifas, every single treifa can be resolved surgically. So there are no treifas, Bizmanenu. So we mentioned this kasha is asked by many, and the Chazanish answered the kasha. And also, as you also noted this Chazanish, which was quite rare for him to cite a Chazanish, I would say almost as rare as something that you find in a museum. Anyway, so the Chazanish claims that the definition of treifa was established in Har Sinai. So whatever was defined as a treifa at that point in time, irrespective of what happened in subsequent generations medically. So it's true. From a technology standpoint, medical standpoint, we're able to resolve all these treifas. The definition of treifa remains what it is. So the Yehuda says that just like you can't kill a treifa in order to save the life of a sholem, of a person who's a wholesome individual, so too you can't kill an ubar in order to save the life of a mother, unless somehow you invoke the din of rodef. That's what the Yehuda wants to somehow resolve this Rambam. Now, as I said, he doesn't really resolve the second question, which was, what's the difference between before and after? Why is it that prior to the Uber emerging, the Uber is called a Rodef, and subsequent to his emergence, the head, he's not called a Rodef. So Rav Chaim Leizer and Achiezer also, a lengthy tshuva, he explains the Rambam is masking with Rashi, that Uber is not a Nefesh. That's basically the premise that we are working with, and you're allowed to go ahead and be mapil the Ubar in order to save the life of the mother. However, the Rambam wants to explain at the moment. One second. I'm sorry, one second. The Rambam wants to explain the moment of birth, the moment that the Ubar begins to emerge, then the Ubar becomes a sovereign entity, if you will, a beryam of Natsma, has now its own life, as it were, and it's a Nefesh, and therefore you cannot kill the Ubar because it's a Nefesh and a Nefesh. And then the Rambam has to come on to run it. But before birth, the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Leizer, explains that in the Hanami, he's masking that you can't kill the Ubar, the Ubar is not a Nefesh, and therefore that would not be called an act of Ritzicha prior to the birth. Once the Ubar is born, then we have the issue of Nefesh, and then the Rambam has no choice but to come on to Rodef. This is the major point, and the question, of course, is the basic question, which, of course, is now as a result of Roe v. Wade has emerged to the fore, namely, is an abortion considered to be murder in the eyes of the halacha or not? And the Yehuda claims it's an act of retzach. And that's why the Rambam had to come on to the din of Rodef. And the Achiezer says, according to the Rambam, Uber is not a nefesh. There's no act of retzicha. So the Rambam only needs Rodef once a child's birth has begun, because then it's no longer Uber Yerachimo. The Uber is now coming down the birth canal. The Uber is emerging. And as a result, therefore, the Gemara in Erechon says, Uber, gufa achrino, it's like a separate kind of entity. That's how we view. And Uber, of course, is a machlokes, but the Uber Yerachimo, Lav Yerachimo, but the moment the Uber begins to emerge, as I said, down the birth canal, so then, only then would it be an act of murder, then the Chaim Leizer comes into the issue of brother. Okay, I'm only telling over these two positions just for the purpose of introducing the next topic, which is the Rav Chaim Riske, his understanding of the Rambam, which was even a bit more complicated, but we still don't know how the Ubers are already before birth and now after birth, and that's what we're going to try, make an effort to explain. Okay, go ahead, Al.
I think my
question is
clarified, but throughout all of this discussion, there's no difference between week 1 and week 40.
That's correct. It's true, the Achiezer does not actually deal with that. The one who deals with that is the Tzitz Eliezer. Let's not confuse the two individuals. He's the one that we'll get to a bit later, I hope eventually, that the Moshe Feinstein attacks with a fury that is rarely seen in any of his truths. And he's the one who actually made distinction between next number of weeks, at what point, I mean, even now, in the roadway discussion, which I imagine many of you, some of you, one or two of you, maybe not from South Africa, but there everything is Gan Eden HaTachton, South Africa is Gan Eden Eretz Yisrael. And but I imagine those of us who have a bit more connection with the USA, you've seen the unbelievable, I can't even begin to discuss the reams and reams of discussion that are taking place in the US. Every single mikzah is involved in this discussion. I'm talking about medical practitioners, I'm talking about philosophers of ethics, I'm talking about people in the judicial arena. It means essentially they want to know, when does conception begin? And obviously, there are many different opinions, starting from the Catholic Church, that is more machmir than every briska regarding about this specific matter, and even a few other matters. They also have a fair number of chumras. And you move all the way to individuals much later. I don't know if you're aware of what's going on. I assume you are. I actually alluded to it on forgot which shiur it was. But anyway, one of the shiurim that I gave on Shabbos, so someone who's a lawyer here in Eretz Yisrael told me that there was a case, one of the members of the Supreme Court of the State of Israel, a woman. So she apparently recently ruled against Baniyado Hospital. Baniyado Hospital has a fertility clinic, like many of the hospitals in this country, apparently a large one. That's what I understood. For Rahman al-Islam, people have difficulty having children, and they've really been exceptionally helpful. It was founded by the Klesenberger Laniado Hospital. Okay, do it. It runs al-Pi Allah. Now, that already tells you something about the nature of the hospital. It's a private hospital. It's true. It does receive government funding, as many, most, all hospitals in this country receive, but it's actually limited because of the nature of the hospital and the way it was set up and the way it was constituted, and it's run literally al piyal. And essentially, it's a group of rabbonim who are directing traffic. First, it was the Kloisenberger, then it was others, some very prominent rabbonim who are involved in that hospital. So she recently ruled that because till now, heretofore, they have not permitted essentially same sex couples to have access to their fertility clinic. I think those who are sitting in this room, I would imagine, who have an understanding of halacha, can appreciate that. I'm talking about two men, two women, etc., transgenders and the like. Now, she ruled that that is absolutely not legal because clearly the definition of, quote-unquote, that legal use the term, that the Torah uses mishpacha, is to be expanded considerably. Mishpacha is not defined the way we define mishpacha, namely the result of Zohar and the Kaaba coming together. But there are clearly other definitions of mishpacha that in any democratic egalitarian country clearly have to be accepted. So now Laniado Hospital is in a Yiddish they would say in a broch. That means they're in a, or my father would use a different language, he would say they're in a pickle. It's an expression my father uses. I don't fully grasp that expression, but whatever the case is, so they now are about to make the following decision, which would be absolutely, in my mind, mind-boggling. They may have to close the fertility clinic down entirely, which means that all the people who might have access to this, and they're talking about not hundreds, thousands of people, will no longer have access to it because of this ruling on the part of the Supreme Court Justice, who clearly she sees things slightly differently than Laniado Hospital. And this, by the way, this is one of the probably the so-called religious cult of Kampf, which is probably the major issue of this country since the days of the founding of the state and the days of Ben-Gurion, and I don't think anything has changed, to be honest. And I think the only resolution of this issue is the way I think the other resolution of the other issue, which is the Palestinian issue, and to my mind, the resolution is quite straightforward. Mashiach Tzidkenu. I don't see any other resolution. At one time, I actually thought that it was possible to resolve the Palestinian issue. I came to this country and assumed, but why can we not make peace with people who are living together with? I don't see the difficulty. Let's talk to each other. Let's have discourse and dialogue. Okay, I know that some of you think I'm probably pretty naive, but I'm not completely naive. I do have some understanding of what's happening. Okay, Mikitsa, as far as going back to the other issue, so that is the issue that is going to be, unfortunately, is now being debated in a hot way in the United States. And the like, as you also may very well not know, the Chabad of mine just told me today that Congress is about to pass, and this will be in law, same-sex marriages. So everything is moving along on its merry way. That's why I said we're living in Moshiach time. It's clear that this is what the Mishnah at the end of Saita is talking about. Okay, that was just an editorial comment, if you don't mind, along the way. Now back to the main issue at hand, which is the Rambam. So, yeah. So
also, at this point, the consensus seems to be birth is defined as the some part of the head emerges.
Yeah, I mean, this is Machlokes among the Poskim. But we assume that the head is the most critical organ. The Yesh B'Zeh Makom Ladun, because as you know, the Gemara Yuma has a Machlokes, what determines life? Is life determined by respiratory elements, or is life determined by the heart? Those are the two days, which is why the issue of brain death is such a massive issue, because where did that come from? But there are, again, hochachas to that as well. Yeah, I'm sorry, Stephen, you wanted to.
I understand. The Chaimers are saying there's three stages when the baby's in the uterus, when it's in the birth canal, and when it's out?
I don't have the tube in front of me right now, so I cannot
understand what you're saying, that the Rambam needs to go to Rodev when the baby goes out.
That's right. Well,
that's what he says, it's not a Rodev.
No,
why does he need Rodev at all?
No, he only needs Rodev for one reason. If the Rambam subscribes to the position of Rashi, which is what the Achiezer somehow assumes in its Rambam, because Rambam does quote the Lashon HaMishnah. So then the question is now, so once the child emerges, and I said there are two questions. Question number one is, why does the Rambam come on to Rodev now? There's no need for Rodev. Okay, I don't think that the answer is complete in the Achiezer either, which is why
I'm not sure what the answer is at all.
Okay, what he suggested, again, what I understand, that an Uber is not a Nefesh. So now, again, looking at Lashon HaRambam, so if I kill an Uber, there's no Ritzicha, absolutely whatsoever. Now the Rambam, now the childbirth, whether it's the birth canal or not, I don't even remember that. Yes, I have to look at it again. But now once the head has emerged and the childbirth has begun, so then it's no longer, that's what Chaim Ben, I believe, says this, no longer called Uber Yerachimo. He's now an independent kind of entity. He now takes on a sovereign kind of status. And if that's the case, so the only other way that it would be an act of murder, how is it an act of murder now? Where's the Retzach that's going on over here? Once the child becomes independent, autonomous, so the Rambam has to come on to the dinner, Rodev. No, there's a bit of a problem here. As I said, I have to look back at the Achiezer again. I haven't seen it in 2 weeks, so I'll be honest with you. I will look at it again with Nedda to see exactly how he presents it. But tonight I was interested in examining another. It seems to be another position, that of Rav Chaim, which is in front of you. I'm not sure I will be able to read the entire Rav Chaim inside. I don't mind doing it. I underline several sections of it, as you noticed. And the Rav Chaim here also is dealing with the same issue that we just spoke about. he begins, actually, in the first underlined section, Asher Lefi Zeh Nira Lo Das HaRambam. Here he's talking about the reason why the Rambam comes on to Rodev. That's what he's trying to explain. And he said that somehow that there's a difference between Pikuach Nefesh and Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, we know that Allah is, let me ask you, can you go ahead and give the woman who's giving birth, can you serve her treifas in order to save her life? Of course you can. And now the question, we're talking about Yom Kippur, that's usually the best example. You want to save the life of the mother who's a pregnant woman, so of course you're allowed to be machal treifas, assuming there's no other recourse. But can I go ahead and kill the Ubar to save the life of the mother if the regular din of Pikuach Nefesh would be in place? Namely, Pikuach Nefesh Shadot and Galat Torah Kula. Would that give us grounds, says Rav Chaim, that's what he asks, Would that give us grounds to go ahead and kill the Uba? Because I would say, no, the Uba also has some status of Nefesh, albeit not the entire status of Nefesh. That's a Mitzas Nefesh. But certainly there's life in the mother's womb. So if we base on Pikuach Nefesh, the Rabbi said it would not work. We wouldn't be able to somehow kill the Uba, as the Mishnah tells us, and that's how we quote Malocha, because that's not sufficient. You can't murder to save someone else's life. That's one of the Yom HaBeris. That Chazal say, Yehor Val Yavar. You have to give your life. So the only reason you can kill the Uba to save the mother says Abchaim, because the Uba is a relative. That's why Abchaim comes on to this understanding of the Rambam. And there's a special thing. You can kill the relative to save the life of the Nirvah. That's not the regular thing. That's what he writes here in this first paragraph. I don't know if you want to read it inside. You can trust me. I've read this Abchaim many, many times. But that's what he essentially, that's the precis of what he writes. And then he continues. And now I'm going to the second paragraph where it says, here he goes on to say that there are Rishonim who assume that even if the life of the mother is not in Sakona, but if the Uber is in the Sakona, so what's the din? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with the Uber? Let's say, and here again, we're talking about Yom Kippur is the best example. Is a pregnant woman allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? So there are many, the Mishnah and Yuma, many Gedarim, but essentially the answer is yes. Yes, but her life is not in Sakona. But the life of the Uba might be in Sakona. There's no question that itself are grounds to be machil the Uba. So the Rav Chaim goes on to say, what do we see? And that's what he writes in this little paragraph. He says over here, Digamhu dichlal v'chai v'em. The Uba is also included in v'chai v'em. That itself, one could have questioned that. One could have said v'chai v'em only applies to a wholesome, sentient, living human being who's walking around, as opposed to the Uba, that's ensconced in the womb of its mother, the uterus of its mother. There one might argue, no. So if the Uba is a Chai, and what is Mechal Shabbos for the Uba? So what do we see? So his life cannot be pushed aside to save someone else's life, unless he's a relative. That's why Chaim comes to this maskada. That he said compelled the Rambam. The Rambam was constrained to come to that status of a relative, because the Rambam saw that the Uba has the status of a Nefesh. So the only reason you can push aside his life is based on Bavit. And that's what he writes over here on the bottom of the page. If you look at the last five, six lines in Cain, and therefore the Rambam has to come on to the din of Rodev that I mentioned a moment ago. That's more or less how Abchaim sees this Rambam. So why can you kill a rodef to save a nirdaf? After all, one might argue, what about Yahar Bayavar, one of the Gimel Averis, one of the Meshvichas Domin? So the answer is, there are two dinim, says Abchaim, that's what he writes here in the upper left-hand paragraph. And this is where things get a little sticky. Abchaim is Mechadish. There are two halachas, three dinim in rodef. One is to save the life of the nirdaf. There's a head there to go ahead and kill the rodef mishum hatzolas hanirdaf. That's one din. And then there's a new halacha. What's the second halacha? He calls it chiyuba the rodef. The rodef is chayim misa. Normally a chayim misa for an act of murder. But a rodef who's in a mindset of pursuing someone, the Torah says that there's a chayim misa on that person, even though there's no trial. But a rodef in the act of redifa, there's really a chiyuv misa on him. So the Rambam and Abchaim has to come on till now. So what's the pshat in this Rambam? So one second. So again, we'll come to that in a second. So Abchaim is, if he's not a rodef, once the Uber sticks his head out, why is he rodef before? So he says, he comes to the maskana, even though Bishmai come right for day, but lopoka me Uber etzem din rodef. He never loses that status of rodef. Because Bishmai come right for day, doesn't take off the status of rodef from the fetus. So why don't we say, ein docha nefesh v'dei nefesh, that's based on what he calls chiyuv the rodef, that a rodef is chayav misa, and therefore you don't apply the rule of ein docha nefesh v'dei nefesh. So when it's just a question of hatzalas hanirdaf, so remain passive. But you don't apply this other halacha, because the rodef is chayav misa. Asher al-Kain, Abchaim says, what does this help? Nishamai kamaratulay, it takes off the second din of rodef, but the serious din of Hatzolas HaNirdav still applies, because he can't say that this child is chayav misa because he's not doing it of his own will. That's what the Gemara says. Mishumaya come about to that. I'm going to read it inside for you. Maybe together we'll be able to put it together. But not by the Uda, because the Hatzolah Sanyuda still applies. He's doing the act. Because we saw the Gemara before, the Gemara said in Sanhedrin that Kandarodev is chayav, but you can't say it by Uba because Mishumaya come about for that. He's not doing a conscious act. It happens to be something which is engineered from on high. And therefore, he's not a Rodev. There's no chiyuv for Rodev. The male of the cloud and nefesh, and the birth mother and the child become equal the moment that he emerges. But the ikedin of Rodev Hatzolas and remains because he has this very, what seems to be not a simple demarcation between these two concepts. We save the mother by killing the Uber, because the Uber does not have the same status of nefesh as the mother has. The mother has a status of nefesh, a full-fledged nefesh. The Uber doesn't have the full-fledged status of nefesh. The Uber is not a nefesh gomer. The mother is a nefesh gomer. The proof is you're not chayav misa for killing the Uber, and for the killing of the mother, you are chayav misa. So the Uber is a partial life. So the Uber is a rodef regarding Hatzolas HaNirdos. So, but once the Uber emerges from the womb, it's a full-fledged nefesh. Ein dochi nefesh min nefesh, unless one is a rodef with the second din of rodef. But that doesn't apply to the Uber because Mishamayi come around for that. Okay, I don't know if you caught what I said. Let's read it inside. Maybe you can, together we can make heads and tails of it. So I'm reading the upper left-hand corner, which is very subtle. Correct, it's not a road. It's all engineered from on high. It's all by the natural process. Once the head emerges, you can't touch it. And also, he's not called a rodev. Why not? Because it's all from on high. Fourth line. Why then, if he doesn't get emerged, we can somehow kill him because it's a din to save the nirdav. There's no din of rodev, says Akai. I mean, you say rodev. Rodev is someone who, in a sentient way, in a conscious way, pursues someone else to hurt, to maim, to dismember, to kill. That's not what the cut is doing. That's not what the Uber is doing. It's engineered from on high, so there's no rodev. But what is there when the Uber is still in the mother's womb? Hatzolas HaNirdav. How do you have Hatzolas HaNirdav without rodev? He claims you can. These are two separate aspects. He goes further. The Bamasabal got the Mishnah Karafi law. You come up with a pocket of Uber, that's a din rodev. There is a din rodev. Even though Mishamai came out for the Yom, the Bamas need the Ikudin Rav Nefi Matzalah Sushal Nirda, Mikol Mekom, Hodilo Dainin and Alei Hachdein, Dochi Nefesh Vnei Nefesh, Havadei Davidin Chiyuva Berodef. Asher Alkein Lezeu De Mahan Yohad, the Mishamai came out for the Yom, Afkiya Bede Fiyuv Zeh. The Chiyuv of Berodef is undone by the fact that it's from on high. It's a natural process. Mishamai came out for the Yom. Umeila Dainin Mei Hodein Dochi Nefesh Vnei Nefesh. So the Uber plays second fiddle to the mother. He's called the Nefesh Gomor. Namely, the mother is called the Nefesh Gomor. The child is not a Nefesh Gomor. Prior to the emergence of the head of the Uber, then you can kill the Uber to save the mother. Even though he's not a genuine rodev, but his nefesh is nitche, take second fiddle to the mother. Mashen kib yatsa roshe, no bimbo, mishum dein doich a nefesh, dein nefesh kiim bitzir of chiyu with the rodev. Well, let's be achi yuva, mishum dein shamay, come around for late. Does anyone understand what he's saying? I wrestled this up chayim for years. You understand what he's saying?
I mean, I try. I mean, I don't understand it. They say there's two din, right? There's a din that you're allowed to save the nirdav, right?
That's all about nirdav,
right? But that doesn't allow you to kill another full-fledged person.
Correct.
Right? So, therefore, the only reason you're allowed to kill another full-fledged person is because that person is chayav misa.
Correct.
Right? Which can't apply to a baby.
Exactly.
Right? But when they're in the womb, then the
partial
Hatzolus allows you to kill.
Correct. That's what he's saying.
Because it's not the same level. I mean,
that's what he's saying, basically.
It sounds like that's the only case of where Hatzolus
allows. I don't know any other case.
But I guess that's
which would be applicable. I mean, it's also, I think in some respects, it's a brilliant explanation, but it's a little too, what's the term? Fanciful for me. A bit too creative for my constructionist, strict halachic leanings. I mean, there are hamtzaot here that he comes up with, Kedarka. And that's where I have some difficulty. I mean, in general, we assume that the reason why abortion is murder is because the Uber is a nefesh. And the only had to kill the Uber because of Rodev. You kill the Rodev in order to save the mother. Bamed Ma'amorim, when the Uber is in the womb, the Uber has no what he calls Chiyu the Rodev. It's in the Shamaya Kamarafile. But the other din of Rodev, as you said, Hatzalsa Nirdav, is still operative, it's still applicable. And when the Uber is Yotzin Abir Ha'olam, so then they don't have their nefesh. But in the womb of the mother, the status of the brother is there. And there's the din of Atzal Sam Nirdav, even though the Uber is a nefesh, but not a full-fledged nefesh like the mother. Or that's what the Chaim here is saying. By the way, the source of Rodev, what's the source of Rodev? Someone asked me this question several weeks ago. The source, I believe, is the Pesukim in Chumash in the context of Nara Marasa. When the Torah actually says, Ki kasher, yakum ish ave'eru tzoch ha'nefesh, ken adar ha'azeh. Ki basodem mitzoha, tzoha'ko anar marasa, ben moshi'ala. Once in a while, it's good to be a Valkyrie. There's some error to it. So the Torah actually over there, in that context, does mechala between nar marasa, ba'ones, or ba'ratza. So we're talking about where is ba'ones. And that's what the passage says. Ki basodem mitzoha. And then the Torah right before that said, Ki kasher yakum ish aveiru tzachu nefesh kein adam razeh. The analogy the Torah draws actually between the two. I think they bring another pasuk as well, where the Gemara says in Baba Kamba, on the pasuk of where you have a struggle taking place, and then one person that zikah the mevusha. And it says the katzay says kapa, which Chazal said Yom Kippur doesn't not to be taken literally. So we know it refers to monetary payment. But anyway, I'm only showing you that this Reb Chaim, I find it to be conceptually very difficult. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. But I think you.
But he makes some strong points, meaning like according to Rashi, would you say right? Reb Chaim says. Can't kill an Uber to save another person.
Exactly.
You think Rashi disagrees with that?
So that's a question. Whether Rashi is calling it. And the answer
is... Well, shouldn't it be called like Bonnet? It's not an
Nefesh. It's not an
Nefesh.
Based on that logic, that's correct. We just said. Okay. I'm just pointing out that, and now we're going to go on to the next discussion, which is Tshuva Meshe. Rav Waldenberg, by the way, in his Tshuva, the Tzitz Eliezer, and he, by the way, is the one that everyone relies on. I think I mentioned this already. A few weeks ago, today, he's talking about it. Let me just summarize. I'll bring up in the next year, I will eventually get to him because I want to explore his tshuva very carefully. That he has a head there. If the fetus, God forbid, is a Tay-Sachs baby or Down syndrome or God forbid, deformed in some form or fashion. And he gave a head there to perform an abortion. Actually, his tshuva was written in the days, I don't know if any of you remember it, to thalidomide babies. Goes back a little bit, several decades ago. And he also only is make up to a certain point in the pregnancy. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, as I said, I have never seen anything so passionate from Rav Moshe. I read many children's and English Moshe over the years. And essentially, he says pretty loudly, abortion is murder. And that posek who issued that psak, and he actually knew the Tzitz Eliezer. They knew each other. But of course, the irony is that when I spoke to my Rebbe, Agoyna Nisun Abbas Atzal, Talmud Rav Moshe, in my lifetime, we've had a number of such cases where people, Rachman Litzan, were confronted with this challenge. And today, it's perhaps even more difficult. For whatever reason, I'm not here telling you what David Evansol told me a number of times. David, Ador Shalano is Ador Chalash. What does that mean? Whenever I ask him about people fasting, I'm not talking about Yom Kippur, Rabbi Brat. I'm not talking about Tisha B'Av. I'm talking about Asara B'Tevis, Shivasa B'Tamas that we just had. And especially women who are pregnant, nursing women, right away the response is essentially Lekula. So I asked them, Mazer. So he says, Rabbi David, Sam Tolev Shador Chalash. Have you noticed that the door is a weak door? What does that mean? Exactly. He said, Abaya Shalcha, he says, you've been hidden in brisk all the years. You haven't noticed what's happening in the world at large. That's what he's talking about. It's one of his moments of sharpkeit. So you've been hiding in brisk. And they have not obviously noticed that things have happened in the world. I think he meant that, Rabbi Brad. He's a Talmud of Hashem Zalman Oyebach. And can say that he used to call to me, and still does, a guy in Dain Fisher, Zechazayim Dibrocha, who held that command, none of these people should fast Bechmal. There's an Eimakom Nachmir Bechmal. I said, but it's against Dirim Shomanoch Lechatchila. It's pretty clear, these are fast days. I'm not mistaken, they mentioned in the Dibri Kabbalah. Okay, I'm not saying the Dirim Daraisa, but still, we subscribe to Dibri Kabbalah as well. Sukim Mizuchayim. We speak about the different sobas. Anyway, so I guess that recent outbreak over 40 years ago. Let's say one is in a position, I've done this, encountered this issue a number of times in my life. People, even sometimes young people, Rachman and son, who are now, today we have all the technology that we do all these kinds of tests. I can say the young couples ask me, there's so many tests today that we sitting in this room who are beyond that, I think everyone here, as far as I know, is a little bit beyond that from what I can see. But today there's so many tests that young women, doctors want to perform on them. And it's like on a weekly basis, I've spoken to about this matter. I'm not talking about what every chassid kala goes through as a matter of course. Today they've added so many other testing. Anyway, now the question is, if some government they diagnose through all the technology, different types of issues that most people today cannot handle it. So is there a makom to do an abortion? So Rav Nissim Albert told me that his Rebbe held Yesham Yilisma. Who is that? The Tzitzel Yosef. Kach Shavati, Rav Nissim Albert. I heard this over 40 years ago. And there's no question. He is the posek that the Gan Tzedot belonged to. The posek, who's a good, I don't know if you ever saw his Jubas. You should read his Jubas. I know I said a certain poskin. And when they answer a shayla, they throw in everything about the kitchen sink. He's one of those. So I'm going to Chol Mechmani Atayra. There's nothing he didn't know. No sefer he didn't touch. He didn't see. He's an absolute genius. Boki B'chol HaTorah Kula. So Rav Asher obviously felt he was someone that you could rely on. But Rav Asher writes in that tshuva against him, abortion is murder. He speaks very passionately against that person. And it's clearly referring to the Tzitzel Eliezer. I'll get to it eventually. I'm back over here. I wanted to read now in the language of Moshe Feinstein. I'm just going to read. I unwind a lot, as I mentioned, that I have this issue in my life that once my children taught me how to highlight, now I started highlighting everything. At one point, I never highlighted anything. And now, all my Gemaras are highlighted. So I don't know exactly what exactly that I gave him all this. Okay, so here, Rav Moshe refers to a Tais and Sanhedrin that we referred to already several weeks ago. And it says, that they clearly say that, as we know, there's a distinction between a non-Jew and a Jew regarding abortion. The Gemara says, for a non-Jew, that's a Gemara's issue. How is it possible that a non-Jew is more chomor than the din than that it is for a Jew? How is that possible? But even for a Jew, it's definitely not permissible. It's awesome. Albeit at a different level, not at Yisrael Isa, so Yisrael Abadah. We're talking about different possibilities of what the Yisrael Abadah might be. So now coming to the Tshuva here of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, I'll just read maybe parts of it if you don't mind. The bottom of the page of this next page, it was mentioned. Fesh Mishpat, he quotes the text of Sanhedrin, She Yisrael, Lesu Gamkin, Barigas Ubrim, Yisrael Rezicha. I, Tesin Nida, writes, Muta Lahargo, as much as Tesin Nida, Tesin Sanhedrin, twice in Shas. Tesin says that for a Jew. Muta Lahargo. So, of course, he goes through an entire discussion of what the proper gear says. I'm not going to go through that right now. And that's an upper left-hand column. You see what it says, Reis Adi Kenny? Right there, Ramesh has a whole discussion of what the proper use is. And now I'm reading the part directly below. He quotes the Rambam, the moment we just read, the Fush Od Yosef Darigas Ubar, Because of time, they should corrode the Mahavir of the Horga, Bumi Adin, the Chibatol, the Chodisol, Atzalam Nirda, the Nafsha Sharodi, and the Sharodi Bukan, Afsha Odi Bome, Sabin the Sober, the Afsha Potu. However, there is clearly an Isol, the Horga, Elevati, Batsala, and Nafsha Rodi. That's what's Madai from the language of the Rambam. And then he indicates, going on to the next page, which I want to show you on page number 8, Sadi Bot, on the top of the page, Rechen Huba, Rambam, Bin Ariga Sahubar. Okay, he's medayik in the Rambam where Tosfos writes twice. It's an edmen nida. Did Ariga Sahuba shalachay dafta machmushu rodev tiru chacham. That's the only heter. And dire hevel hey lo masharam lo dog. Because of tam sheker shalaga klal. Tam ha'emes and machmushu shalaka isu mitzicha. Alubuk shadayim leyatsu roshav shalos tiru klal from the premise. We got more zilzla called piskei Rambam. He has a lot of editorial comments. Rabbi Feinstein, which is not so typical of Rabbi Feinstein. And then, if you look at the next paragraph, where he writes the following, where I underlined that, I'm just reading the underlined section. This is an Os Beis. He says, He says, often we have kashas on the Rambam. So, therefore, and we don't necessarily have an answer. What, that undermines the thought of the Rambam? Of course it doesn't. The Rambam is the Rambam. The Yodim Sharam, the Yodim of the Tarets, the Yodim of the Rambam, the Yodim of the Rambam who had answered all the kashes, and we see this, he calls the Ravid, all those who are massing on the Rambam. Here they're not massing on the Rambam, so the Ravid apparently agrees with the Rambam on this matter. Okay, so now the question is how to go about and deal with the issue, and that's what Moshe now is about to make a presentation on this matter. Okay, so now the question is whether I should begin this discussion, or should I just leave it at this, which is what I generally do at this time tonight, and then next time we never, but it won't be next week. Next week, I'll tell you what's wrong with next week. Next week is fine. Tisha B'Av is only 2 weeks. Okay. So next week we'll leave nether. If you want to return this to me, you can. If you don't wish to, you can hold on to it. I'll still make other copies anyway. So one good. So this way, we'll continue.